Good morning. How lovely to be with you this morning. I don't have many notices, but I will just direct you to the notice sheet. And I will mention that morning and evening prayer is back, Mondays to Thursdays. And the morning ones are in Holy Trinity and the evening ones are in St. Margaret's. But look in your sheets for the details. Now, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive the word of God, God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy.
And in our song we will praise our God.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the water of chaos, you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts, as we offer our sacrifice and thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
And now we shall sing our first hymn, which is number 28, We Are Gathered.
Thank you.
night has passed and the day lies open before us, let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And now that you've just sat down, it is time to stand up again because we're singing Great is Thy Faithfulness 147 instead of saying the psalm. Seated for the Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 62, beginning to read at verse 1, where Isaiah praises Jerusalem. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of our God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we say the canticle together. Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Before we start, Christine has a sore throat and she's lost her voice, so you have me for the second time. The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 11. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then, the members of Christ, and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead.
And arise, shall
You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. When Christ, our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Please be standing for the Gospel Canticle. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation, by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Have you ever been asked to talk to someone about your faith? Of course, it's not easy. What if they ask questions I cannot answer? Surely it's the minister's job or someone trained to do it. I'm only an ordinary person. I can't help with Sunday school or youth club, especially youth club. This reading from John's Gospel is definitely for us. It's the story of Christ using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. John witnesses to Christ, and two of his disciples leave to follow Jesus. We don't know the name of one of John's disciples. The Bible doesn't tell us his name. The other is Andrew, a nice sort of fellow, but seemingly not the kind of person to set the world on fire. Jesus sees these two men following and asks, "What are you looking for?" Their response is odd. They answered Jesus with a question. They say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" It sounds as if they're asking for his address. But their question isn't as odd as it seems. When you look at it in the original Greek, it could mean, "Where are you abiding?" Or, "Where do you stand?" Or even, "What are you all about?" In other words, these two disciples were asking Jesus to tell them about himself. And he responds by saying, "Come and see." And they go with him. After they've been with Jesus for a day or two, Andrew, the one whose name we know, comes to believe that he's in the company of the Messiah. So he decides he has to tell someone. You might think that having discovered the Messiah, Andrew would tell someone important. The high priest, or someone from the Sanhedrin, a group of 70 who ran the nation's religious affairs. Or at least the president of the synagogue. You might think Andrew would shout the news of the Messiah from the housetops. You might think that he might even hire a trumpet to get everybody's attention. But Andrew does none of these things. He goes to get his brother Simon. He starts as small and as close to home as he can. As we said earlier, Andrew isn't likely to set the world on fire. But an amazing thing happens. Simon is a hot-blooded kind of person who rushes in where angels fear to tread. Then, realizing he's over his head, he quickly beats a retreat. He isn't likely to set the world on fire either. Unlike Andrew, Simon has plenty of energy, but he can't seem to put it all together. So we might conclude that nothing much has happened. But that would be wrong. Simon turns out in Jesus' hands to be truly outstanding. When Jesus meets him, he says, "You are Simon. You shall be called Cephas, or Peter." Cephas is the Aramaic word. Peter is the Greek. Both Cephas and Peter mean the same thing. Both mean rock. In other words, when Jesus meets Simon, he says, "I'm going to give you a new name, which means I'm going to make you a new person. Your name is Rock. I see great strength in you, Mr. Rock. You're going to be as solid and unmovable as the Rock of Gibraltar. You're going to be as sturdy as that mountain over there." Now, if you were Andrew, I wonder if that would make you wonder about this new Messiah. Perhaps Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Saviour of the world. But he's seriously misjudged Simon. Simon is hardly a rock. Simon is about as substantial as the spark that shoots out of the campfire, only to fade and die a few seconds later. If Andrew had not been so oppressed with Jesus, he would surely laugh behind Jesus' back. Andrew knows Simon. They grew up together. Andrew has seen Simon bounce off one wall and then another and then another. Simon, a rock? You can't be serious. But Simon, but Jesus looked at Simon and sees something that won't be visible to anyone else for quite a long time. Simon will not become a rock straight away. He will continue to flake his way through life, lashing out this way and that, until Jesus' resurrection. When Peter sees the resurrected Jesus, he will become Cephas. He will become Peter. He will become a rock. Before Jesus' resurrection, everything shook Peter. Before the resurrection, Peter was anxious and afraid. But after the resurrection, nothing would ever shake Peter again. Once Peter had seen the risen Christ, he will preach powerfully, and he will preach fearlessly. Some people will respond to coming to him for baptism. Sometimes they'll respond by throwing Peter in jail. It doesn't matter to Peter. It isn't Peter's problem to get results. That's God's problem. Peter's only job is to be faithful. For the rest of his life, Peter, Mr. Solid Rock, will do great things for Christ. So that which seemed like nothing much, three mediocre men following Jesus, turns out to be a hinge on which Jesus will turn the whole world. Jesus does that. He takes the most ordinary men and women and uses them in extraordinary ways. He looks deep into their hearts to see their real potential. Then he unlocks that potential and uses it to turn the world upside down. You might think that we're talking about people like Billy Graham, or Pope John the 23rd, or Mother Teresa. But we're not talking about famous people, but ordinary people. Every congregation has an ordinary man or woman, hopefully several ordinary men and women, of extraordinary faith, of extraordinarily devotion to Christ. Few people know their names. Nobody would call them great. But Jesus does most of his work through ordinary people like them. Ordinary people like you and me. Jesus takes little people that no one else wants and he empowers them to change the world. He can do that for any of us if we let him. Some time ago, there was a television series called The Band of Brothers. It was the story of a group of soldiers who fought from Normandy to Germany during the Second World War. They were an ordinary group of men who accomplished extraordinary things. Many of them died in the process. Of those who survived, quite a number became teachers. Others became builders. They had been destroyers, but when they got the chance, they decided to become builders. They wanted to do something beautiful in their lives. But others were so damaged by the horrors of war, by the things they'd seen and done, that they couldn't seem to recover. Sergeant Skinny Sisk was one of those. one of Skinny's soldier buddies had warned him that all the killings that they were going to jump into bed with him one day, and one day they did. After the war, Skinny Sisk suffered flashbacks and started drinking. He became a dropout. Then one day his little niece, 4 years old, came unbidden into his room. None of the rest of the family would have anything to do with him. He was such a vile drunk. But this little four-year-old girl came into his room, and she told Sis that Jesus loved him and that she loved him. She told him that if he would repent, God would forgive him for all the men he kept trying to kill over all again. Quite a speech for a four-year-old girl. She probably heard one of the adults say those things, and she knew that Sis needed to hear them. So she marched unbidden into his room to tell him. See, Sisk says, that little girl got to me. I put her out of my room. I told her to go to her mummy. And then he reports what happened next. He says, there and then I bowed my head on my mother's old feather bed and repented. And God forgave me for the war and all the other bad things I'd done down through the years. And do you know what happened? He quit drinking. He gave his life to Jesus. And Jesus unlocked the potential that no one else could see. Sis became a minister and served God well for many, many years. If you and I are trying to change the world, would we start with an old vile drunk? Probably not. Or a four-year-old girl? Probably not. But Jesus takes people like Andrew and Peter and Skinny Sisk and that little girl and you and me and the person sitting next to you. And Jesus does wonderful things with us and through us. All we have to do is to put ourselves into his hands. All we have to do is to let Jesus take charge of our lives. That's much harder than it sounds. It's not easy to give up control of our lives, even to Jesus. But it can be done. Skinny Sisk proved it. Jesus can make something of our lives too. Perhaps if you're a young person, you probably want to change the world, but not quite sure how to do it. Perhaps if you're middle-aged, you've come to realize that you aren't going to change the world very much. Just paying bills and keeping your youngsters from self-destructing is a challenge enough. Perhaps if you're older, you wonder where the years went and what it all meant. But in the hands of Jesus, all our lives are important. Jesus doesn't care that we're ordinary. Jesus doesn't care whether we're young and inexperienced, or middle-aged and tired, or old and sick. Jesus doesn't mind that we have so little to offer. Jesus has always done his best work through ordinary people who surrendered their lives to him. So we bow our head on our mother's old feather bed and repent and learn what Christ can do with ordinary lives. The message is clear.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ has won the victory once and for all. The assurance of salvation is ours through faith in him. This is what we hope to take home today. His dying and rising are an inspiration for us to follow. He told his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it." It's in dying to self that we're born again to eternal life. The good news is that God has a plan for each of us, a destiny to fulfill. As we surrender to God's good and perfect will for our lives, we'll experience the fullness of life God has in store for us. Charlotte Elliot was just a young woman the night she went to see some friends for dinner. The year was 1835. The home was in the West End of London. There she met a brash young minister named César Malan. During the course of the meal, he asked her if she were a Christian. She took offence and said she'd rather not discuss the matter. He apologised, and the conversation moved on. 3 weeks later, their paths crossed again. This time it was she who brought it up. She said ever since he'd asked the question, she'd been trying to find the saviour, but to no avail. "So you tell me," she said, "how does one come to Christ?" He said simply, "Just come to him as you are." Not long after this, she wrote a hymn. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming his way, he told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. As you see signs of his presence in the trials and tribulations of everyday life, let us dare to let him come more fully into our heart and invite others to know him as well." How do I do it? One of our 20th century prophets, Clifford Hill, wrote this message from the Lord. "Tell my people I love them. Tell my people I care. When they feel far away from me, tell my people I'm there." Amen.
Amen.
If you feel able, please stand so we can profess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, number 316, Just As I Am.
Sit on you. Today is the second Sunday of Epiphany, when Jesus the Christ unlocks the mysteries of God. Let us pray to God, who knows us better than we know ourselves and understands our world. Lord, we know that we're called to be the body of Christ. Make us worthy of that calling, fervent in all our prayer and worship, loving, faithful, and honest in our lives, so that the whole church displays what God is really like. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the grace and wisdom to care for this world we have been given as our home, for perception in the difficult decisions, and commitment to justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the homes of our benefice, whose hopes and struggles, sorrows and fears are already known to you. May each household be blessed as we pray, and may your love fill each life. Draw us closer to the heart of God. We're conscious that we live in a world full of violence and strife. Children are lonely and afraid. Parents are in poverty. Families are homeless. We pray for all those who do not yet know you, and all whose hearts are poisoned with hatred or weighed down with despair. May your light scatter their darkness and bring them hope and healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Today we pray especially for those on our prayer list, for the family and friends of Edwina Sarkissian, Sheila and Harry Knox, Oliver and Annie Heal, Amanda Ricketts, Joe and Tim Oliver, Mary Coker, the family and friends of Peter Sachs, and Eve and Peter Nelson. And in a short time of silent prayer, we bring to you those people who need your healing love at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we remember those who have died to this life and are born in your heaven. Comfort those who miss their physical presence, and help us all to share in the fullness of your life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we give you thanks for all that points us towards the beauty of your love and draws us closer to you. Help us to know and feel the peace that passes all understanding. Merciful Father, accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son,
our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we stand up to sing our final hymn, which is number 599, When We Walk With the Lord. Thank you. before the dismissal, I would just like to remind you that, as usual, there's coffee and tea in the sanctuary, so we are all welcome over there after the service. And thank you all for joining me this morning. So, God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit to your praise and glory. And we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.